Kids These Days.
This is Kids These Days.
Today on the program, new to school. We're talking about the options school-age kids have when it comes to going to school in our region. Whether the school down the street or one with a particular charter works best, or if homeschool or private school appeal to you, find out about most of those choices available to families in Anchorage this hour. There's about a month left before the next Anchorage School District school lottery. Also, how does ample choice impact our neighborhoods and the schools right down the street? We'll explore that as well this hour. That and more on Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy. Well, before we get started talking about today's topic, new to school, let's first revisit our conversation from the last program. Last week on Kids These Days, we talked about dads these days, and we heard from a lot of dads, including a few stay-at-home dads. After that discussion, Kids These Days realized the moms who go to work when dads stay home also have an interesting perspective on this. So when one listener and go-to-work mom wrote to Kids These Days about this very thing, I called her back.
Hi, I'm Shanna Allen. My husband stays home with our son. He's actually a full-time student as well, and I'm a part-time student. So it makes the family dynamic very interesting in that respect. It is hard. I constantly feel like I'm missing something. Like I'm going to miss him crawling for the first time, or I'm going to miss him getting his first tooth or something like that. You know, I feel like I'm not spending enough time with our son Parker, and he feels like he's, not that he is unhappy about being at home with him. He loves it, but at the same time, he feels like he should be contributing more.
Do you feel like you kind of have to back off of the role of mom at all because dad is sort of that primary person with Parker? Or do you feel like you have to make up for not being there for more of the time when you are with Parker?
I guess I personally feel like I have to make up for it. But at the same time, there's times where, you know, he's upset and he doesn't want me. He wants his dad. And that's painful for me.
The dads who I was in the studio with, Jason and Chrystia, they both were sort of commiserating a little bit in a kind way about how they're home all day and everything's fine, everything's under control. It's like their realm, their thing. And then mom comes home and she sort of instantly has to get totally, totally involved and isn't necessarily willing to take time for herself that she might need. I got the idea that they felt like a little elbowed to the side. I'm wondering, do you feel like that's part of your dynamic?
A little bit. I do kind of feel like I tend to take over when I get home, and it's just because I don't get that during the day. And so I do tend to kind of take over when I get home, and it's the same thing because I feel bad when I go out, you know, like go have dinner with friends and things like that. I always feel bad like I'm, you know, you stay home with Parker all day, you know, I shouldn't be out doing anything extra kind of a thing.
So, you know, you said that this is hopefully a temporary situation for you and your husband. You're both students. You plan on graduating. So do you talk about what's next? Will you maybe go back to what we were calling more traditional roles where mom's at home more and dad's at work more? Or is this working enough that, you know, you'd stick with this scenario?
Well, for right now, this is kind of what we have to stick with. You mentioned on the show that there were two mainly female-dominated roles, and he happens to be an elementary education major at UAA. He starts his student teaching in the fall, and so that'll kind of change our dynamic a little bit as well. But then when he starts teaching full-time, I'm going to cut back to part-time so that I can then be the one that's at home with Parker more.
Those were thoughts from listener Shanna Allen, continuing the Kids These Days conversation about dads these days. Hear last week's program again. Go to kidsthesedays.org and click on Archive. This is Kids These Days, and I'm your host, Shanna Sheehy. Usually, we're in the studio talking about youth and family issues, but today's conversation was recorded in front of a live audience. It was a first for Kids These Days and for me, and it was a lot of fun. Three guests joined me on stage this past weekend at Trinity Presbyterian Church. Trinity hosted this event and invited all community members to attend. After our Kids These Days conversation, more than a dozen schools manned information booths to let families know more specifics about their facilities and academic programs. Kids These Days guests today are Linda Carlson, Sandy Hoag, and Missy DeRivera. Linda Carlson is the Director of Elementary Education at the Anchorage School District. She's been both a classroom teacher and a principal in the district and knows well all the options the Anchorage School District has to offer its students. Missy DeRivera is representing the Chugach Homeschool Program. She's been a teacher in Alaska for more than 11 years. Missy spent her initial years teaching middle school in rural Alaska and has been working with homeschoolers ages pre-K through 12th grade for the past 8 years. Sandy Hoag is president of the Alaska Association of Independent Schools and has taught in public and private schools, pre-K through college. This 40-year Alaska resident is the founder and CEO of Quest Academy Anchorage, a local private school. Sandy, Missy, and Linda joined me on stage this past Saturday.
Well, I'd like to start off this conversation today by first asking you, Linda Carlson. This is a very large question because there's a lot to talk about, but can you first explain for us all a little bit about the kinds of educational opportunities that the Anchorage School District offers to people in this district?
Yes, we have a wide variety of options. We have language immersion programs. We have the ABC optional programs. We have open optional programs. We also have a Montessori program over at Denali, and we have an MSI program, which is the multi-sensory instruction approach over at Baxter. And then at every one of our neighborhood schools, you'll find a variety of different techniques and strategies being used, and lots of other enriching opportunities.
And then there's charter schools as well?
Absolutely. Although I don't oversee the charter schools, we do have charter school options also.
So let me ask you to get a little bit more specific about some of those alternative programs mm-hmm. that you talked about. You mentioned language immersion programs, mm-hmm. ABC programs, open optional, Montessori, and mm-hmm. multi-sensory instruction. So maybe let's just take that first one first, which is these language immersion programs. If a parent is interested in having their child be immersed in language and learn a different language, what languages are out there, where are those schools, and so forth?
Yes, we have two Spanish immersion programs. One is at Chugach Elementary out in Chugach. We also have Government Hill. And then for the Japanese immersion program, that would be at Sand Lake Elementary. We also have a Chinese FLES program, which was originally funded by a grant. It was a foreign language in the elementary schools grant, where children are exposed to the Chinese culture and to the language as well in all the grade levels, although it is not a full immersion program. We also have the Russian immersion program at Turnagain.
And then, this is jumping a little bit, but then one of the charter schools has a specific language that it works with, right?
Yes, and that is at Rilke Schule, and that is the German language.
So let me know a little bit about how, if a parent is interested in an immersion program, or like you said, the Chinese program is not quite immersion, but they're dealing with culture and language in instruction, why might a parent choose to send their child to a language immersion program? What are the benefits, and how does maybe the language component affect learning the other parts of the curriculum? Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent question. There has been quite a bit of research that has demonstrated that achievement tends to go up when children are learning a second language. Now, that being said, a lot of times parents will choose a language program not just for that piece of it, but because perhaps they are, it's their culture. Perhaps they have been in a country where that language was spoken and they want their children to be bilingual because they perhaps have plans to go back. We've had, for instance, at Sand Lake, many of our Japanese families want to continue that education for their children in their primary language, but they also want them learning English. It is the same thing at the Spanish immersion program at Government Hill or at Chugach. And so parents choose those immersion programs for a variety of reasons. And again, just gaining the second language, when we know that at this particular age, in the early primary years, it is a key time for kids to be immersed in language. So rather than waiting till they're in high school where they have those as electives, they can begin early in their life.
And are there, if a child is attending an elementary program in language immersion, can they continue with that intense language training and learning as they go into middle school and high school?
Yes, and thank you for asking that. I think that's one of the really important things that we recognized right away, is that when we do put an immersion program in place at the elementary level, we're thinking long term, because we want to make sure that there is that transition from the elementary division to the middle school and then on to high school. So when we're looking at languages to create programs around, we want to make sure that there's support for that at the high school level so they can continue. So the students that left Turnagain Elementary last year have now a Russian immersion program at Romick Middle School so that they can continue, and then they will have that in high school as well.
And is that the feeder school? Is
exactly.
Turnagain would normally be feeding to Romick?
Yes,
school.
Yes.
And does Russian continue on in high school, or is that the
yes,
one
it does.
Russian program?
It will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe that the Sand Lake mm-hmm. Japanese immersion program, there is a middle school and high school component
yes,
to that as well.
Yes, it would be Mirrors and then on to Diamond.
Okay. And then what are the plans for that Chinese, you call it a FLES program?
FLES, F-L-E-S.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that is why it continues to be a FLES program at this particular point in time, because we do not necessarily have the long-range plan of having Chinese spoken at the middle school and at the high school. We do have the FLES program at both of those locations, but it's not a full immersion. So we have a Chinese-speaking teacher at both Begich and at Bartlett at this time.
And is FLES an acronym?
It is. Foreign language in the elementary schools.
Okay. So ABC schools, you mentioned those. There are a few, is that correct?
Yes, there are. We have one at Northwood and Northern Lights ABC as well. And then there is one out at Birchwood.
Okay. And is ABC, is that just a fancy name, or does that mean something more than the first three letters and building blocks, the alphabet?
Exactly. I think it was chosen because it was the first three letters, but it is a back-to-basics program.
And so explain mm-hmm. for me, so what does that mean? If I'm a parent mm-hmm. and I think back-to-basics is a great way to go for my child, mm-hmm. you know, what am I really getting if mm-hmm. I go that route?
Mm-hmm. It's a very structured program, and I think sometimes that's a little difficult to really conceive of, because there are many classroom teachers who are very structured as well. But in this case, they use a slightly different program in their math instruction, sex and math. And then though they are using some components of Houghton Mifflin, they're also using a Spalding method for their reading instruction. So it's a little bit more of the, what I would call the drill and practice approach to learning.
Okay. And so when you talk about Spalding method or mm-hmm. Saxon method, without getting into details about those right now in this program, are there ways that a parent who's interested in finding out, well, what does that really mean, and mm-hmm. and can I learn a little bit more about that? Mm-hmm. Can parents find that out somehow if they're doing their own research?
Yes. Actually, if you go onto the Anchorage School District's website and you click on elementary schools, you will see all 60 elementary schools pop up. And you can click on any one of those schools, and on their website you can see what it is that they promote and what kinds of programs they use, what are some of the extracurricular activities kids can participate in. It's a pretty comprehensive website. In addition, people can call my office in the elementary division, and we are more than happy to sit down with people and explain that. I also encourage parents to contact the school, and front office or the principal will often be very happy to meet with families and talk to them about the program. Most schools have brochures that they also give parents. I know if you come to the elementary education office, you will get a handout with the locations of the alternative schools, and you'll also get information, a brief description about each of those. And then if you are to look at the various programs, and when I say programs, in this case, the curriculums that are being used, most of these curriculums have their own websites, so you can Google any of those. If you want to Google the Everyday Math Program or Houghton Mifflin or Spalding, any of those things, you can find that on the website as well.
So, and the ABC schools you mentioned, that is sort of a back to basics drill and practice. Mm-hmm. So, how might that classroom, if you know the students sitting in the classroom, how might that look different than, say, the neighborhood school that you might send your child to? Mm-hmm.
Perhaps at first glance, it's not going to look a whole lot different. I think that you really have to go into the schools and perhaps tour that, because I think within the program, the structure of the program, teachers are going to have their own flavor in how they teach a class. So though I think most of our schools have some kind of structure in place, if you were to go to an ABC school, they might have a specific dress code, they might have certain requirements. I know at Birchwood ABC, for example, they celebrate Red, White, and Blue Days, where they have whole school assemblies, and they focus very much on patriotism. That's not to say that we don't in all of our elementary schools, but there is perhaps a greater emphasis on it.
I would really like some explanation about what an open optional program is. Often these are housed within a neighborhood school, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
Not always.
Not always.
But, you know, what is an open optional program? Why might I want to try to send my child to one of those options?
Sure, that's a great question. We do have many schools that have two programs available. You have the neighborhood program and then you have the open optional. In the open optional, the philosophy there is it's very child-centered, student-led conferences, parent participation on a more regular basis. It's one of the things that the program will also solicit at the very beginning if you're interested in that. The environment is set up so that you are in family groups as opposed to a classroom. So the family group would be, you have kindergarten, then you have first and second group together, third and fourth group together, and fifth and sixth. And so within that, you have what we call the youngers and the elders in that little family group. Many of the teachers in the optional program, though, and in the neighborhood side, you'll see a lot of the same kinds of strategies and cooperative learning techniques happening in those classrooms, whether it was in the open optional or the neighborhood side. But the biggest difference, I believe, is that the structure from the beginning is set up that way and it's systematized so that if you start in the open optional program as a kindergarten student, you know that you're going to be having 2 years with the same two teachers as you go up through the grades.
And what, you know, I mean, each child is different and every mm-hmm. family situation is unique.
Yes.
But, you know, what advantage might it be to have that consistency for 2 years in each mm-hmm. of those family groups? Mm-hmm. You know, what might that give a family or a child who's interested mm-hmm. in it?
Mm-hmm. I think that having children, what we call looping, and many classrooms, whether it's optional or traditional neighborhood school, will do this. The benefit of that is, of course, if you've had a child for a year, they come back to you in that second year, you know them already. You know where they left off in the spring, and you pick up and take off in the fall. There isn't that period of, you know, assessing children and getting to know where they are. The other thing is, you know the families and you develop that relationship. So I think there's a tremendous benefit in having a relationship with the family. As a former neighborhood classroom teacher, I was able to loop, if you will, with my children on several occasions. And I would say it was some of the most rewarding years that I had.
You also mentioned that there is a Montessori mm-hmm. Focused, or I guess there's a curriculum around Montessori
yes.
style education.
Yes.
And is there one school in the Anchorage School District that focuses that way?
Denali Montessori focuses on Maria Montessori's techniques, and in that particular setting, children, they start with the premise, and I believe that many schools as well do this, but that children are naturally inquisitive and we want them to explore, we want them to experience hands-on learning, and we want them to look at the world through, I guess, if you will, scientist's eyes, botanists, and studying the world around them. So with that methodology, they have a kindergarten classroom, and then they go into first, second, third all together, and then a 4, 5, 6, so they're staying with the same teacher for those years.
I'd like to mention that this is Kids These Days. You're listening to a live conversation recorded at Trinity Presbyterian Church. I'm here with Sandy Hoag, Linda Carlson, and Missy De Rivera. And back to you, Linda Carlson. You said that you were a neighborhood teacher for a number of years, neighborhood school teacher. You know, all of us who live in neighborhoods have neighborhood schools down the street. We've just spent quite a bit of time talking about some of the alternative options that the Anchorage School District provides. I'm wondering, I'd love to know about, you know, your perspective on neighborhood schools. You know, what is the benefit to families who choose to go down the street and so forth?
I think one of the benefits of a neighborhood school, from my perspective, is that you get a chance to develop relationships with the families in your neighborhood. One of the things that is always nice is, as a parent, it's nice to know who your children's friends are. It's nice to know that you can open the door and you see the children on your street and they can go and play together. And you're looking after your neighbor's kids and your neighbor's looking after your kids. And I think that's one of the wonderful benefits of being in a neighborhood school. One of the other benefits of the neighborhood school is it's close by. And so for those community events and those evening events, you know, you're working with your neighborhood school. You see the teachers in your local stores. You see them out in the community. That's, for me, one of the benefits. Not only being a classroom teacher, but as a principal, I was able to experience that. You know, you would go somewhere in your neighborhood and you would see the children that you were serving. And it just reminds me of, I think, when I was going to school and that three-room schoolhouse and everybody knew everyone.
So I know that the Anchorage School District recently, and I think this is an annual event, holds a fair where you can find out about alternative programs.
Yes.
So what advice might you have for how families can interact and get to know and sort of learn about their neighborhood school before their child is about to go? How might a family who wants to know more about their neighborhood school get that information?
I always encourage families to contact the school office, ask if they're going to have any kind of an open house opportunity in the spring, and if not, if there is an opportunity for you to get a personal tour. As a principal, I often would give personal tours to families that were moving into my neighborhood. I think that's a wonderful way to get a feel for a school. You get a personal guided tour by the principal, and you get to walk through the halls, you get to see the kids interacting with one another, and then you can sit down and ask questions about what other opportunities are out there for kids to participate in after school. What are some of the extracurricular things that the school gets involved in? And then also, parents might be interested in what before and after school options are available. So if you're in need of childcare, you might be asking if there's a campfire program or a before and after school program that your child can participate in. And then the principal may guide you to that office so that you can inquire about that.
In a previous conversation, I think you also mentioned that contacting the local PTA for that school is another way, because then you find some other parents who maybe you're not aware in the neighborhood and you can find out what their experience is like.
Yes, and thank you so much for bringing that up, too. PTAs are a wonderful resource. So if you can ask the front office who the PTA president is and if it would be okay if you came to a PTA meeting. And I think that's another way to kind of get to know some of the families that your child might be going to school with, and to see how you might get involved, because there's no greater way to know what a school is like than to be involved in it and being in the school and working alongside other parents. And I think that's a great idea, and I encourage people to do that and talk to people in your neighborhood too. When you're out on the street watching your kids play, a lot of families get together out there, especially in the summertime, And it's a good time to just say, you know, do you mind me asking where your kids go to school at? And what's your experience thus far? And how would I get involved in the PTA? Or is there some event coming up that we might be able to participate in? I think that's a great idea.
This is Kids These Days. I'm Shanna Sheehy. You're hearing a live conversation between me, homeschool teacher Missy DeRivera, Sandy Hoag, who represents private schools, and Linda Carlson from the Anchorage School District. We're talking about education options in our area. After the break, our contributor, Jessica Cochran, explores how neighborhood schools are faring in the era of school choice. That and more. Stay with us.
Vacation in the summer sun, getting lots of action, having lots of fun, scoring like a bandit till the bubble burst. Suddenly it got to be September 1st. Whoa, with me, all summer long I was happy and free. Save my soul. The Board of Education took away my parole. I gotta go back to school.
Kids these days can't resist talking about the last great race on Earth. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and next time on the program, I'll be talking with the 2010 Iditarod Teacher on the Trail and the Director of Education for the race organization. Teachers and students across the country and the globe use the Iditarod as an opportunity to learn. Here's your chance to learn about that. Also, Kids These Days takes a look at STEM, a new way of approaching science, technology, engineering, and math in schools. The Alaska Teen Media Institute covers the junior Iditarod, and we'll have another installment of KTD On The Go. AK Mom has tips on the best places families can go see Iditarod dogs as the teams race on by. All that and more next time on Kids These Days. Tune in Tuesday at 2 and again at 7 p.m. on KSKA 91.1 FM Anchorage. We're back. I'm Shanna Sheehy. On today's Kids These Days, the topic is new to school. We're learning about the variety of options families and school-age kids have in our region when it comes to education. This program was recorded in front of a live audience this past weekend at Trinity Presbyterian Church. It was a Kids These Days live event. I spoke with Linda Carlson from the Anchorage School District, Sandy Hoag with the Alaska Association of Independent Schools, and Missy DeRivera with the Chugach Homeschool Program. Here's the rest of that conversation.
Well, Sandy Hoag, let me invite you into this conversation. You are the president of the Alaska Association of Independent Schools.
Yes, I am.
And you're also the founder and CEO of Quest Academy.
Mm-hmm.
First, can you tell me a little bit about this organization, the Alaska Association of Independent Schools, and what it's doing as an organization? How does it help independent schools?
Well, it brings independent schools together, and we share information. Every year in March, we have a school fair, which allows families to come and, again, look at their options in the private school industry in Alaska. And we represent 13 private schools right now, and each one of those schools has something unique that they offer. You know, it may be an immersion in a religion, or it may be more of a college prep. It may be a school that works closer with children that have issues, that have learning issues. Or it just may be a school that has a language.
So maybe you could be specific about what private school opportunities families who are living in our region in mm-hmm. South Central have access to. What schools are located here?
There's many schools located here. each one of the schools that we have here have something unique to offer. It may be that that school has a very small classroom. I think that most of the classrooms that, that we have here in private schools are much smaller than a traditional school, a public school. You've got the Montessori schools. Athenaeum is a different way of teaching. Gateway Schools works with children that have dyslexia. So it's a multi-sensory form of teaching. Grace Christian School is a large private school. They have about 600 children, and it's K through 12. Holy Rosary Academy and Lumen Christi and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton are Catholic schools. You have several Lutheran schools. Pacific Northern Academy is a school that teaches more in a group setting. They do projects. Quest Academy works with children that have Asperger's and ADHD, mood disorders. A Waldorf school teaches with the Waldorf method. So there's a lot of options out there for parents. And again, when we have the school fair in March, it gives parents a chance to come in, talk with everybody that's at the fair, and to find out more about these schools, to look at what their child's needs are. And most children learn better in the smaller environments, especially the younger children.
And do you have any idea how many, you said that you know how many are going to, it was Grace Christian, or do you have any idea about how many students are going in general to private schools?
I would say it's probably close to 1,500 to 2,000, at least.
Mm-hmm. And there is a financial component to most of these, all of these schools?
All of these schools are tuition-based. I know that most of the schools have either tuition waivers, scholarships, so that families can, if they have financial need, they can make that information known and fill out applications.
Does the fact that there is a tuition, that there is tuition for private schools, does it in some way affect the learning or the attitude of a lot of private schools, or you know, is there some sort of impact that it has because people have to have the means to go there in the first place?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think that parents make choices. I know that, that at Quest, we have parents that, that really sacrifice for their children to get a quality education. And I think that's the case for a lot of the schools, that parents make sacrifices to see their children get a quality education and an education that meets their needs. And a private education, I think children value that education. I believe that the children in private schools know that parents sacrifice for them. And they put a little more effort into what they're doing.
Missy De Rivera, you are representing the Chugach homeschool program today.
Yes.
And Chugach is its own school district, correct?
That is correct.
And then there's this homeschool and sort of correspondence component to it.
Yes.
So maybe I can start by asking you a little bit about homeschooling in general and how it might be that a family would choose a homeschool program for their child instead of a private school or a public school.
Well, there are many reasons why a family might choose to homeschool. It might be because of health issues. It may be because the family would like to travel for several months out of the year. It may be because of a religious conviction. It may be because of location. They might be out in the middle of nowhere and there isn't a school nearby. So it allows families flexibility. They can choose what their child is learning and at what pace. Parents know their children the best, so they know what's going to work and what's not going to work. So those are a few reasons why somebody might choose homeschooling.
And, you know, without the sort of, I learned this term recently, the brick and mortar of a school where kids are attending, how does a parent who's helping with their child's education sort of structure their time? Is it at all like going to school and having class and sitting down and doing your lessons and then having homework, or is it really just however the family interprets how to do the work and get it done?
To be honest with you, yes, it's how the family interprets it and what's best for the family. We've had families who are on a sailboat all winter long, and they stop in islands, and their children are having such a rich experience. We also have families who set up at the kitchen table, and that's where they do their schooling. The beauty of homeschooling is that it happens, education happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this gives them a chance to, I guess, embrace that, and they can make it count towards their child's education.
And do you find that with your homeschool students, do they like lack the social component of school? You know, going to a traditional classroom, you are sort of interacting with your peers all the time. How do you find that your homeschool families deal with that? I mean, maybe it's not an important component of what they're teaching, or maybe they're finding ways to have social interactions that are outside of their schooling.
I think all of the school options here, education is the first priority, a high quality education. And families are going to find social outlets to their choosing. So they may be a part of Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or the swim team, or our program has listened to requests from families, and they have asked for larger group events, field trips, workshops, parent trainings, and so we're able to offer larger group activities if they'd like to attend. But think of it as homeschooling. It's a natural socialization, families working together, children helping their brothers and sisters out, and it's real life. It's real life socialization.
Let me ask you this, if the parents are serving in a role of being teachers and sort of the school administrator in a way in the home setting, you know, teachers work hard and spend a lot of time preparing lessons and so forth, so how much is the commitment to homeschool a commitment for the parents to be doing a lot of work?
Oh, it's a large commitment. It really is. You're right, they do have to prepare lessons, and moms may be staying up late into the night to prepare lessons for the next day, but they can also take things that are natural in the home and weave that into their education. So baking bread can be a part of the science lesson for the day, or going grocery shopping is a part of the education. So it's a balance, but it is a commitment from the parents.
Well, Linda Carlson, I'd like to ask you also, we haven't talked extensively in this conversation about charter schools, but I've done enough research to know that two of the Anchorage School District charter schools are a homeschool-based program, Frontier
Yes.
Charter School and Anchorage Family Partnership, is
Yes.
that correct? So within our school district,
Yes.
how do those two charter schools and then their homeschooling components kind of work for parents who'd be interested in that?
I'm probably not the expert on the charter schools since I supervise the other alternative programs, but from my understanding, it is more of an independent study, if you will, an arrangement between the families and the school. And as far as how the curriculum is delivered, again, I'm not the expert on that. But I think it just gives parents another option, if you will, if the alternative programs or the neighborhood program isn't necessarily a good fit. But I would recommend folks talking with Mary Mead Oberlding if they were interested in some of those other charter schools, and she could provide them with that information.
I spoke with Mary Mead Oberding, mm-hmm. and we have a full interview with her specifically about the Anchorage School District Charter Schools that will
That's
be available
great.
To anyone who would like to listen online at kidsthesedays.org.
Oh, good.
And just, I know that you're not mm-hmm. the expert on charter mm-hmm. schools within the Anchorage School District, but we haven't talked about what options there are out there, mm-hmm. with the exception of talking about Real Kashula, which mm-hmm. is the German immersion program, and now the two different homeschool-based mm-hmm. charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just let us know, Linda Carlson, what those other options are?
Certainly. One of the options is a recently created Alaska Native Cultural Charter School, and then we have Winterberry, and Eagle Academy, which is out in Eagle River.
Aquarian Charter School, which has been in existence for quite some time now. And then you mentioned earlier Highland Tech and then also Family Partnership. We also have Frontier Charter School. So again, it's different options for parents to explore, and many of those are based on individual learning plans, if you will, and working directly with the families. Then in our Alaska Native Cultural Charter School, like I said, was recently formed about 3-4 years ago. Each one of these charter schools has a unique, culture there. And again, they're outside of the brick and mortar schools, as I know Mary has often called it, whereas they're often having to pay rent in other spaces that they haven't had a school built and dedicated for that purpose. So they're looking for spaces outside of a typical school setting. And those are, again, just another layer of options that we have on top of the alternative schools within my division's purview.
Mm-hmm. And Sandy Hoag, I'm wondering if there are families out there who are really interested in finding out more about the private school options. Linda Carlson had said that in the case of neighborhood schools within the Anchorage School District, you know, going to visit a school and talking with the principal is an option. Is that something that families can do for private schools as well?
Absolutely. And the Alaska Association of Independent Schools has a website. And that website will, you can click on the schools, it takes you right to their webpage. And then you can contact the schools, you can set up an appointment to go in, take a tour. I know with Quest Academy, we always tell parents, come spend a day with us. Enjoy spending a day with us. See what you think. Because kids need to be comfortable where they are, and I think the other schools do that too. Letting the kids come in, spend a day, see what it's like. Have parents tour, talk to other parents. See what the program is like, what the offerings are. How does it fit your family's needs?
And we will link to your organization's website from our website at kidsthesedays.org. One-click shopping.
That's always the best way.
And Missy De Rivera, how about if, you know, you represent the Chugach homeschool program.
Yes.
There are many that are based in Alaska. There are many that are based, you know, elsewhere in the world. You know, where is the best place for families to start if they're interested in finding out a good fit for them for a homeschool program?
I would say the first step is to sit down just by themselves and make a list of what they see homeschooling looking like for them, what their what they want their child's education to look like, and what is most important to them. And then talk to friends, families, neighbors, and find out what their thoughts are, if they have, what their thoughts of homeschooling has been. And from there, I would go online and start researching the different programs, because there are many programs to choose from. And then start calling the programs and asking them questions, specific questions about what they offer, because each one of those programs is very unique and can offer your family great things. So by having your list ahead of time to know exactly what's important to your family and your child, you can ask them, you know, what kind of activities do you offer if that's important to your family?
You're listening to Kids These Days. This is a conversation about school choices that are available to families and school-age kids in Anchorage. And I'm Shanna Sheehy. I'm speaking with Missy De Rivera, Linda Carlson, and Sandy Hoag today. This is a live recorded conversation. And Linda Carlson, I would be remiss if I did not ask a little bit about the Anchorage School District's lottery system, because a lot of these programs that we're talking about, other than going to your neighborhood school, I believe there's sort of a random lottery that happens. And can you tell us a little bit about what that is, how it works, when they happen?
Mm-hmm. It isn't a random lottery, but it is a lottery that is quite structured. And we have a lottery in the spring and then again in the fall. Folks, if are interested in the options that require lottery applications, can pick one up at our office. You can also, I believe, download that from our website. And again, I would say the same thing that my colleagues have mentioned, is it's really nice if you can go spend some time at the school to get an idea what you're interested in and what seems to be a good fit for you and your child. And you can fill out the application, and then the lottery is held in the spring. So when schools have openings, and they do keep wait lists as well. So if you aren't accepted in that first round, the first lottery process, when openings become available, when parents move for various reasons or choose not to go to that school any longer, then at the next lottery, they will again try to place more kids into the program.
And are there, I've heard from other parents, this isn't a scientific study by any stretch, but from other parents I've heard that, you know, trying to lottery into school when your child is in kindergarten is, you know, that's the advice that I'm getting as a parent. Is that the best way to approach the lottery system, or does it really matter?
Well, if your question is, should you be thinking about that before they go into kindergarten, the answer is yes. That if you are interested, in some cases, some of our schools have fairly long waiting lists and then others not so long. So it depends on what kind of a school environment you're looking for. And again, that's something that each of those schools should be able to address with you when you first make contact with them and ask your questions. But I think it is something that you want to get some sense of if you're interested in alternative programs. But I also mentioned that we have our neighborhood schools, so if families really don't know, it's also okay if they go to their neighborhood school and perhaps give that, you know, a good try and see how that is, because the neighborhood school is there and it has transportation provided to it. If it's a busing school, and most of our schools are schools that have buses going to them, so parents can carpool and have families helping with that piece of it if children have to walk. That's one of the things that a lottery school often does not provide, is the transportation piece. So parents have to make those decisions early on if they are able to transport their own child and they're able to access the school fairly regularly. Those are things that they have to make decisions about. But I really do encourage them, if they are interested in the lottery process, that they fill out the applications and submit them as soon as they know that they're interested in that school.
Well, I would like to thank our audience and our panelists for your time and your thoughts today. Sandy Hoag is with the Alaska Association of Independent Schools. Missy D. Rivera is with the Chugach Homeschool Program. And Linda Carlson works with the Anchorage School District.
You've been listening to a conversation about school choice recorded live this past weekend at Trinity Presbyterian Church. I was joined by Sandy Hoag, Missy D. Rivera, and Linda Carlson. You can share what you just heard with others by finding this program online. That's kidsthesedays.org. Also there this week, you'll find additional information about school choice in South Central. We'll have the full interview I did with Mary Mead Olberding. Mead Olberding is the coordinator of charter schools for the Anchorage School District. In that full interview, Mary gives Kids These Days details about each of the 8 charter schools and how best to make choices about them for your family. That's at kidsthesedays.org. As we've been hearing this hour, there are a lot of options for educating kids in the Anchorage area, even within the public school system. Where your kid goes to school affects more than just their education. It affects who their friends are, where your family finds community. Kids These Days contributor Jessica Cochran looked at how a rich school environment can impact those things.
Beth Kemp is reading to her kindergarten class at Inlet View Elementary near downtown Anchorage.
Go on your seat and meet us at the carpet. Ay caramba, she cried, a perfect nest. She hopped up.
She's only in her second year teaching here, but her connection is longer than that. She lives 2 blocks away, and her 2 daughters go to school at Inlet View.
It's nice to be able to see all the kids walking to school and riding their bikes when it's bike riding time, and it's also nice to know that our, you know, when 3:30 comes, the kids aren't busing or going home to all different parts of Anchorage. You see these kids, they're in your neighborhood, and a lot of friendships are formed, and friendships are formed for the kids and for the parents, and it's really nice. It's got a good feeling here at the school.
Some kids do bus to Inlet View. The school's region is too big for everyone to walk, and some kids are brought in from struggling schools, as required by the federal No Child Left Behind Act. Inlet View is close to capacity now, but at one point the school accepted a lot of kids from other areas on zone exemptions. Its enrollment was low, partially because of changing neighborhood demographics, and partially because there are a lot of alternative programs and charter schools nearby, and local families were taking advantage of them. District-wide, 28% of students don't go to their neighborhood school. They attend a charter school or a special program within the ASD. As Director of Elementary Education Linda Carlson says, the Anchorage School District is rich with choices.
I believe that's one of the strengths that we have, is that within the 60 elementary schools, we have everything from an ABC optional program to the open optional program, a Slingerland approach. We have immersion programs which introduce language to children with the Russian, the Spanish, the Japanese.
Carlson says all those choices help keep kids in the school district, help keep the district vibrant and thriving. But the array of choices may have an unintended result. Claire Smirker studies school choice and communities at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. She hasn't studied Anchorage, but she says that in many dense choice environments, a kind of stratification occurs.
Typically, the most informed, the better connected parents, the parents with more education, who are enmeshed in social networks with other well-educated and well-situated parents, those are the families that are best connected to a system of choice, and that leaves out other parents who are far less formally educated, are far less familiar with the system of choices, and are far less able to navigate or optimize those choices. So there's a lot of evidence on the social inequality around school choice, and the way in which sometimes that stratifies families.
Looking at the numbers in Anchorage, it does look like the demographics of some optional programs don't mirror the district as a whole. The level of diversity for elementary students overall is 55%, meaning 55% of students are not white. It's lower in charter schools, averaging 34%, and in one popular optional program, it's only 18%. That school's rate of economically disadvantaged kids is 5%, compared with 42% of students district-wide. Anchorage parent Heather Ireland worries what it means for neighborhood schools. She's had kids at both a Title I neighborhood school and an optional program.
As a parent, I'm glad now to be taking advantage of the alternative programs. But on the other hand, I think it's tragic in our community that some of these schools are really struggling because a lot of the strong families are no longer there. At our neighborhood school, I was one of the more active and involved parents. At the alternative school, I still feel like I'm there much less than some of the other parents who are really engaged in what their kids are doing. And I just see that parent involvement makes a huge impact, a positive impact on the students at the school. All of the students at the school, not just their own kids. But
Ireland and several teachers interviewed said they see the kind of stratification Smirker talks about. One parent described it as almost a caste system. But ASD's Linda Carlson doesn't see a negative impact on neighborhood schools generally. She says there are involved parents at every kind of school. And she says while there may be an optional program here or there that isn't as diverse, as a whole, she doesn't think Anchorage has a stratified school system.
We've had alternative programs in this district for 20-plus years, and still we continue to have equity across this district. When you go to neighborhood schools or you go to alternative schools, you're not going to see that stratification. You're not going to see a difference in what children are exposed to or what kinds of resources are allocated to the schools. We allocate resources very equitably in this district. And so I think it maintains that equity across all schools. And again, I think that it's one of the points of pride that we have, is that any child can apply to any of these alternative programs and have equal access to the opportunity.
Entrance to alternative programs is by random lottery, but it may not be possible for everyone to take advantage of them. Kids with special needs might not find all the services they need at some optional programs. Some have regular early release days or requirements for the number of hours a family is expected to volunteer. And they don't provide transportation, so parents have to be able to get their kids there. That makes it hard for some working families, especially single-parent families, like the families Marcus Wilson works with.
We're above 80%, probably closer to about 90% here at this school.
90% of his students are considered economically disadvantaged. Wilson is principal of North Star Elementary, a neighborhood school in Midtown Anchorage. He calls it the unofficial home of the district's program for homeless kids. He says some kids in their neighborhood have started going to the Alaska Native Charter School. He's happy to see kids from villages find a smaller, less intimidating school to transition to big city life. But he doesn't see a lot of kids heading to an alternative school.
One of the reasons I think could probably possibly be transportation. It's really hard. A lot of our parents work 2-3 jobs. A lot of our students here come from single families, single parent families. So it's really hard for those parents to get those children, one, to transport them to school, two, not to have options after school for childcare and things like that that we're able to offer here.
Wilson is working hard to make North Star a safe and welcoming local school. On an early release afternoon, the office has a friendly hubbub of activity. Staff are calling parents who forgot to pick up kids early and directing others to their parent-teacher conferences. Twice a week, a school business partner, Great Harvest Bread, donates baked goods. North Star passes them out to parents in the morning.
And one thing that does, which is a huge goal for our school, is to get that parent involvement into our school. Get those parents out of the car and used to coming into the school. And it's just a friendly way to greet our parents and say hello.
Something seems to be working. North Star's attendance rate was 92% last year, well above the No Child Left Behind Act cutoff of 85%. The number of students testing proficient in language and math increased last year by double-digit percentages. Still, not enough are proficient. North Star doesn't make AYP, and kids are offered the opportunity to be bused to a different school. Wilson says only 2 students chose to do that this year. Back over at Inlet View, students are meeting proficiency standards. It has a small school feel. The principal knows every student's name, and it has an active and involved group of parents. Still, 43% of the students who live in Inlet View's district choose to go to school somewhere else. Third grade teacher Ellen Derman thinks for the most part, the decision not to attend a neighborhood school has more to do with a family's circumstances.
You have a self-selected group in charter schools or in optional schools where parents have the ability, maybe. So I think that is something that has nothing to do with what is going on at the different schools, but who's got the ability to make some choices.
For parents who are making choices, the challenge is to sift through all the information, figure out their priorities, and assess all the options and their implications. I'm Jessica Cochran.
That's all the time we have today on Kids These Days. Today's program was recorded in front of a live audience February 19th at Trinity Presbyterian Church in South Anchorage. Thanks to Megan Holliday of Trinity for organizing the New to School event. Special thanks as well to all the technical staff at Trinity for their help in recording today's conversation. Next time on Kids These Days, we're learning about how the last great race on Earth runs across Alaska and through classrooms all across the globe. We're talking about Iditarod education, learning about STEM, that's science, technology, engineering, and math, the junior Iditarod, and we'll have tips from KTD on the go. Join us for all of that next week. Jessica Cochran reported from Anchorage today. Sarah Gonzalez is our producer and technical director. She also manages all of our content at kidthesedays.org. Check it out throughout the week for web extras, new blog entries, and other original content. I'm Shanna Sheehy, and I host the program and do the technical editing. Thanks for listening today and for being a part of the Kids These Days community. We'll see you next time.
The ideas, opinions, and commentary you hear on Kids These Days are those of the hosts, guests, and contributors, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of its funders or broadcast partners. The Content Producers Guild is solely responsible for what you hear on the program. Kids These Days is made possible by a generous grant from the Association of Alaska School Boards and its Initiative for Community Engagement. Kids These Days is produced in partnership with KSKA 91.1 FM Anchorage, KRUA, and the UAA Department of Journalism and Public Communications.